Today, the message is entitled Glimpses. And my prayer is that God shows us in our everyday lives the glimpses of heaven, the glimpses of heavenly, the glimpses of the glory of God. Because, you know, when God gives us a glimpse of His goodness, of His glory, it does wonderful things in us, and it does wonderful things to us. We need those glimpses to keep us going, don't we? We need those glimpses to keep us going. Have you ever really experienced something that you would say was just an incredible heavenly experience? Huh? Just experience something like that. Kim and I went to Nashville last week to visit with Miss Alyssa. And so we finally get into downtown Nashville to Jack's Barbecue. Now, some of you may know that I really love Southern barbecue, and boy, this one really didn't disappoint me. The line was out almost to the sidewalk, and we went in, and it was nothing to really write home about in terms of the looks of the place, you know, and there's just a big line that you go through and order. Well, by the time I got up to where you order, and the big smoker ovens are behind me, this giant black guy, you know, takes my order, and he pulls out a brand new slab of brisket, which I ordered, you know, and he takes it there, you know, and I'm already just starting to, and he unwraps that thing, you know, with the aluminum foil, and the steam begins just to rise off of that. He takes his big knife and just gently, it's right open, you know, just tender. You can cut it with a butter knife, for goodness sake. He took and he scraped that little bit of fat off the edges, you know, and then just began to slice through that, and he lifted it up onto that plate. Oh. Oh, heavenly. Six types of sauces at the end of that you got to sample, and six different sides that you could choose from, cornbread that came with every one. You know, oh, was it heavenly. We get back to the hotel room, and I'm going... And man, I smelled like smoke. You know, the smoky barbecue, so maybe it wasn't as heavenly as I thought, I don't know, but then I got to tell you just one more quick story. We decided that we weren't quite full enough. Well, there's always time for room for ice cream, right? You got to understand that there's this one ice cream place in Nashville called Jenny's Homemade Ice Cream. Oh, everything is made from scratch. And they have, what, about 20 flavors, would you say, of ice cream? The oddest flavors that you would ever think of, all whipped up right there. Well, I had been there once before, and I knew I was going to get as one of my choices my all-time favorite, which is brown butter almond brittle. Oh, my gosh. You know, it is definitely really good. Big chunks of, you know, almond brittle inside of that ice cream and creamy. Oh, it's good. And I tried a new flavor this time. It was odd, and I thought, man, it sounds good. It was sweet cream biscuits and peaches. Sweet cream biscuits and peaches. And you go up, and you know, they give you samples that you want. You know, you can have as many samples as you'd like. Of course, that's good advertising, right? Once it makes you eat more. But I tried this sweet cream biscuits and peaches, and I had to have it. I just had to have it. So I ordered that and the brown butter almond brittle. In a homemade fresh waffle cone. Now, come on, doesn't that sound good? It was delicious. It was most definitely heavenly. And oh, we had a good time. We had a good time. I was telling somebody here that the first couple of days weren't the greatest weather-wise, so we just ate more. Right? That's what you do. That's it. Yeah. You know, I really enjoy those wonderful things, and it's a blessing to be able to have those experiences, right? But there are other experiences that I want to talk about today, other heaven moments that happen in our life, if we're paying attention especially. Heaven moments, you know, when you catch a glimpse of something that you know is supernatural, that is just amazing, that is just God. And God gives us those things, those glimpses of the heavenly. He really does, and He knows that we need them. You know, we experience a little bit of heaven on this earth, don't we? You know, like when our children are born, you know, and you look and you see that miracle of God, and you just give thanks for that. You know, it's amazing. Or when you go hiking and you crest a peak and you look down, you know, the valley on top of the mountain, and you just almost gasp for breath. Or you go snorkeling and you hit that shelf, and all of a sudden the ocean opens up before you, and the colorful fish, you know, are just illuminated by the sunlight shining through the clear waters, and the turquoise blue, you know, is just, it's just heaven. It's just incredible. It's just experiences that take your breath away. But there's even more. There's even better experiences than that. You know, I believe that heaven rejoices when even one person comes to know Christ. That's what the scripture tells us. And I can imagine the celebration and how it feels for them when they see a soul that is saved. And how we feel too. I mean, I know how it feels to have somebody come to Christ. Somebody that you've been praying for, maybe a loved one, maybe a friend. To have them come to know Jesus as Savior. And you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that that person has just been given eternal life. And that no matter what, you know, you'll be with that person forever. That's incredible. Those are heaven moments as well. Those are glimpses. Glimpses of God's goodness in the land of the living. You know, David had an incredible picture of God, a relationship with God. But he prayed, you know, Lord, I want to also see your goodness in the land of the living. I know I'm going to see it there. I know I'm going to see it there face to face. But Lord, give me glimpses of your goodness in the land of the living. Isn't that what we want? Glimpses of his goodness here in the land of the living. Now, a glimpse is, by definition, a momentary or partial view, right? It's not the full thing. It's a foretaste. Like that little sample on the ice cream stick, you know, they only give you spoons that are about that big just to wet your whistle. Give you a little foretaste, right? So glimpses are foretastes of that which is coming, that which we will experience when we do get to heaven, as Kim was singing today. God knows that because we're not there yet, we need these things. We need these glimpses. We need these foretastes. We need them in order to make it through some of the other experiences that we have upon this earth, because we understand that we live here on still a fallen earth, and we have to deal with the good and the bad. We live side by side with that upon this fallen earth. We can't forget that. It really does explain why there is suffering in the world. We're not there yet, church. We're not there yet. But Jesus came to be able to bring heaven to earth, to be able to bring us the goodness of the kingdom of God. When he came, he spoke of that. His first words for people were to repent, to turn into the kingdom. Repent, he said, for the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is at hand, one translation says. This was his message when he came to the earth. As a matter of fact, when he came to the earth, heaven came down. Heaven came to earth and began to demonstrate to this fallen earth what it would be like if we were living fully in the kingdom of God. Now, one day we will be. You understand that. One day when Jesus comes back, kicks the devil out, restores this fallen earth, we will be fully in the kingdom of God. Now, we are in, but not yet fully yet. Does that make sense? It's this in-between time that we live in, where because of Jesus, the kingdom of God has come, but yet not fully. Not fully throughout the earth. Now, when you accept Christ, when you truly understand what you've done, when you make him your Lord, your King, the kingdom of God comes within you. Isn't that what Jesus said? The kingdom of God is within you. You see, the kingdom of God is any place where God is allowed to fully rule and reign. Now, I got to tell you, the places where God is fully allowed to rule and reign are places that are blessed, that are places that are experiencing God's goodness. So as we learn as people, as Christians, as we learn to allow God to reign in us, like the song we sing, as we learn how to do that, we learn how to experience more of His kingdom here on this earth in the land of the living. You see, as we invite Him to reign over us, rule over us. You know, people that aren't Christians, if they heard me saying that, would probably cringe a little bit, because the concept of anybody ruling or reigning over you seems to not be desirable. It's because our earthly models of it, you know, it's we don't like people ruling or reigning over us. But I'm not talking about people, am I? I'm talking about a God who, when you make Him your king, pledges His full resources of His kingdom to you. A good king that never abuses His subjects and never, never takes advantage of His subjects. Instead, pledges His life for them. That's the king we have. And Jesus came to bring that kingdom to this fallen earth. I love in Scripture where it says that when Jesus performed that first miracle, do you know what Jesus' first miracle was? That's right. Good job. It was in Cana in Galilee, that wedding that his mom took him to. And when he performed that, in John chapter 2 and verse 11, it says this act in Cana of Galilee was the first sign Jesus gave, the first glimpse of His glory. And it says, after that, His disciples believed in Him when He gave them a glimpse, a glimpse. God wants to give you glimpses. He knows you need them. We need them. I like it whenever the Pharisees, they really didn't understand anything that Jesus was saying. You know, they were missing it. There, the kingdom of God was right there among them, and they were missing it. They were oblivious to who it was that was speaking, and they didn't even hear His words. They didn't even understand His signs. When He was delivering people from demons, you know what they said? He delivers them by the prince of demons, Beelzebub. And oh, that riled Jesus up. You got to understand, that fired him up. But He said this powerful word in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 28. He says, if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. If I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. You understand why? You know, you got to realize when you read the Gospels, when Jesus showed up, demons did not like that at all. You know why? He is the kingdom. He's the king of the kingdom. There is no other authority higher than His. So when He came against or up against a demon who represented which kingdom? The kingdom that was in power right at that time, the kingdom of Satan upon this earth. Demons knew that all of a sudden they came upon someone who had much more authority, much more power than they. And they were afraid, trembled. If I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you, Jesus said. He tried to get them to understand what it's like in God's kingdom. We know when God's kingdom fully comes, we won't ever have to worry about demons again. We won't ever have to worry about the devil again. We won't ever have to worry, because God will have driven them completely away. He will remove, it says, everything that causes sin, everything evil in the end. But you see, what we have to understand as a church is that He left us with the keys of the kingdom. He said the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God are given to you. He left us with these keys. He left us so that we could be a part of advancing His kingdom upon this earth. That's the role of the church. That's why He could say, you know, when He spoke about the church, that this is My church built upon the rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know, the gates were like a city wall, gates that were there so that no opposing force could get through. But gates don't move. When he said that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church, he was trying to paint a picture for us of the kingdom of God advancing against the gates of hell, pushing it back. And that's what he came to do. And he left us, the church, with that responsibility and that authority and that power to prevail against the gates of hell, to advance the kingdom of God upon this earth. Now, how do you do that? How does the kingdom of God advance upon the earth? How does the kingdom of God advance, grow, expand? How does it happen? James, stand up a second. I'll give you the illustration. You just stand right at the end there. That's good. Perfect. Now, if there are only two kingdoms, spiritual kingdoms upon the earth, and there are, there's only two spiritual kingdoms upon this earth. Either you are in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness, Colossians calls it, right? Here is the only way that the kingdom of God advances, then, is by taking that which is in the kingdom of darkness and bringing it into the kingdom of light. Now clap, because he's rescued. He has been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light, and the kingdom advances upon the earth. Amen? Thank you. The kingdom advances by people entering it, people that are not yet in the kingdom of God. We can't lose sight of how it happens. It happens when people leave the kingdom of darkness. Leave is not the right word. I'm going to strike that. Strike it from the record. People are delivered, Colossians says, from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. People that are held captive are set free. You know, the challenge, as I mentioned one other sermon, is that many people that are prisoners in the kingdom of darkness don't even know it. That's the challenge. They're blinded to the fact that they are prisoners. Until the light comes, until the knowledge of the kingdom comes, until they begin to see there's something better, much better. Much, much better. Whenever Jesus was trying to tell his disciples about the fact that I've come to bring my kingdom to this fallen earth, but we're not there yet. He come to show us that there are indeed things that we suffer from because the kingdom isn't fully here yet. And, you know, his disciples really didn't quite understand this, so he taught them something. He said in a parable, he said there was a farmer who planted a field of good seed. But in the middle of the night, the enemy went out and scattered among the good seed weed seed. Weed seed. Not the kind that they're growing in Colorado, but the other, you know, bad weed seed. Now, you didn't know that until it started growing. And as it started growing, all of a sudden, the farmer and his workers, they noticed, wait a minute, didn't you plant good seed? Yeah. Well, how come that there is these weeds that are growing in the middle? And our enemy came to try to ruin our crop. The farmer's helper said, what do we do? What do we go and pull up the weeds? And the farmer says, no. Because if you pull up the weeds, you'll pull up the good plant that's growing alongside of it. Does anybody have a garden? You ever have that happen? Unfortunately, you know, the weeds get so close to the small new growth. If you pull the weeds, you're in danger of pulling the good plant up with it. He said, no, let them grow until the harvest. Side by side, until the harvest. Then, whenever we harvest, we will separate the good from the bad then. Now, his disciples still didn't understand it, so later on Jesus explained that parable to his disciples. They ask him, Lord, you know, help us understand this a little bit better. He says, don't you realize that you are the good seed? You are those that God plants upon the earth, the good seed that is growing here upon this earth. But the bad seed are those that are causing evil and problems upon the earth. People that are under the sway, the influence of the evil one. But they're growing side by side with you. But I tell you, Jesus said, that in the end of the age, the angels will be sent forth during that time of harvest. And this earth will be reaped. And there will be a separation of those that love God, love me, and those that don't. Then you will see that distinction. Then you will see that separation. Until that time, we have both living and existing side by side upon this earth. We look at the beheading of Christians, and we're appalled because you see no mercy, you see no remorse, you see evil, true evil, and you mourn, and you feel, and you pray. And you cry out and you ask, why? But it's because this is the time we're living in. This is the time, not yet fully the kingdom of God, where evil is still allowed to exist alongside of the good. But we are called to be the sons of the kingdom, the daughters of the kingdom. We are called to be the good seed. We are called even to live among those that aren't yet in the kingdom of God, and to be light, salt to them. Now, will they turn? Some will never. We know that, right? We know that some will never turn to God. And though they seal their own fate, right? They make the choice. They make the choice. Jesus was trying to help us to understand, though, that in the midst of this struggle that we have upon the earth, He will give us glimpses of the kingdom. He will give us experiences of God in the land of the living. He will give us the goodness of God here that we may stand, that we may live, that we may not only survive, but that we may thrive in the midst of a fallen world. This is His promise to us. When Jesus went back to heaven, He told His disciples that they were to represent and spread the kingdom of God upon the earth. That kingdom where God rules and reigns. Now, when we ask the question, does God rule upon this earth? The answer is yes and no, right? The answer is yes and no. Yes, in the lives of all who make Him Lord, to those He rescues from the kingdom of darkness. But we live here with some yet not entering the kingdom. For sin still is present. Satan is still at work upon the earth. Though Jesus defeated him, and He sure did, Satan still is allowed at this time to deceive and even control those who have not yet believed and received Jesus as Lord. Christians, you and me, though, bring God's kingdom, spread God's kingdom, advance God's kingdom, when we help somebody else enter it by believing and receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord. When we become a Christian, God does not immediately transport us to heaven. He could. He could. But when Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, that great priestly prayer, He said, I pray that not that you take them out of the earth, but that you protect them from the evil one. Right? It's because He has a job for Christians to do upon this earth. He wants to break through into your life and give you glimpses of heaven, glimpses of God's glory, even within your spirit, to fill and feed you. I want to tell you a story from the Scriptures. I'm going to paraphrase. If you want to look in your Bible, I'm going to paraphrase a pretty long passage so that it's shorter. This would be Matthew chapter 16. And you can turn there. You can follow along because I'm going to go quickly through this story. But I want to show you how Jesus helps those, us, by giving us glimpses. Helps us be able to not only survive, but thrive in the midst of a fallen world. Now, right before this verse of Scripture, Jesus again feeds the crowd. In the chapter, in the verse right before chapter 16, Jesus fed, this time, 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread. 4,000 men, not to count the women and children, so more than 4,000. And immediately after he feeds this multitude, the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to Jesus. And you know what they do? Immediately after this miracle, the Pharisees and Sadducees who weren't present, they come, who heard about this miracle, and they demand that Jesus do another one. They demand a sign, it says in Matthew 16, verse 1. And Jesus said to them, you know what? Whenever it's fair weather, you said it'll be fair weather if the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you can interpret the sign of the times. He says, a wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. And then Jesus left them and went away. Now I want you to understand, when Jesus was speaking these words, he was not speaking to you. He was not speaking to Christians. He was speaking to those Pharisees and Sadducees who had rejected him. He was lumping them in with a wicked and adulterous generation. He says, to you, no sign will be given, except for the sign of Jonah, which I'll talk about in a moment. But then after he left, he grabs his disciples and says, come on, we're heading across the lake. And as they enter the boat and they start across the lake, Jesus said to them, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, in verse 6. Now, the disciples had no idea at first what Jesus was saying. They talked among each other and they said, is it because we forgot to bring bread with us that he says, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees? And Jesus, who understood their discussion, he says, don't you still understand? He said, you remember the 5 loaves that fed the 5,000? How many basketfuls you gathered afterward? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000? How much did you gather up after everyone was fed? How is it you don't understand? I wasn't talking to you about physical bread. I said, be on guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Ah, then they understood that he wasn't telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who, if it got into you, would leaven you, would go through you and corrupt you and make you like them, not able to see what was going on, make you like them, blinded to the truth and asking for more signs when the greatest sign of all was right in front of them. So he gets his disciples, you know, over to the other side, and he says, who do people say that the Son of Man is? You remember this passage, you know, they said, some say that you're John the Baptist, come back to life. Some say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But Jesus then looked at them and said, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter was the one that spoke up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. This was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. He was congratulating Peter that Peter got it. Peter was able to see. Peter got that revelation revealed to him by God. He got a glimpse. Jesus said, good job. I tell you, you're Peter. On this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And he warned his disciples, don't tell anyone that I am him until later. And from that time on, from that time, Jesus began to explain to his disciples, who he thought got it now, right? He said, now I got to tell you, I'm about to go and suffer and die. Peter, the one who just had that revelation of God, Peter says, no way, Lord, never. It shall never happen to you. And so Jesus turns to Peter, the one who he just rejoiced and congratulated, says, get you behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block. You don't have in mind now the things of God. What happened to your revelation? What happened? You saw it. You lost it. Jesus went on. He talked to his disciples. He said, come on, you have to understand this. You got to take up your cross too. You got to understand that there's more than what you're seeing right now. You got to understand the value of your soul, the eternal life that I'm giving you. Get a glimpse of what's coming. Get a glimpse of what I'm coming to do. There's going to be a day when the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will reward every person according to what he's done. And I'm telling you, some of who you are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Do you ever wonder what that meant? Because, you know, Jesus died. Do you know what happened right after this? Some of you, he says, that are here will not taste death before you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. You know what happened? Jesus recognized that the three key players in that group that would lead his church needed something. They needed a glimpse. So you know what he did? He takes them with him. He says, come on, guys, you three, come with me. And I want to tell you, that's what he wants to do with you too. When you're in prayer with God, there's times when he's just going to say to you, come on, come with me, come sit with me, come pray with me, come fellowship with me, come with me, I want to show you something. I'm talking to you. He wants to show you something because he knows you're going to need it. You're going to need this something to go through what you have to go through and go through victoriously. So he brings these three. Now look what happens. An amazing thing happens. Never before ever happened. He takes them to that mountain. And there on the mountain, he goes up and begins to pray. And his three disciples are there praying with him. And as they're praying, they see something. Heaven opens. The glory of God begins to shine upon Jesus, and it begins to change him. He begins to just shine with a white glowing light. The radiance of God's glory just begins to come out of him. And there appears Elijah next to him and Moses on the other side. The disciples are looking and they can't believe their eyes. Peter doesn't know what to do. He's beside himself. The only thing he can think of is, I'm going to build a shelter so you all have some place to spend the night. And as this scene is taking place, this glimpse of heaven, the voice comes from heaven. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. And as the voice thundered from heaven, they were afraid and they began to cower as they heard this thunderous voice of God. And when they opened their eyes again, Elijah and Moses were gone and there was Jesus now. Just back in that earthly body, walks over to them. You see, Jesus knew they needed that glimpse. That glimpse. What would that have done to you? What would that do to you if in your prayer time tomorrow morning, as you're on your knees in the privacy of your prayer closet, you just begin to sense God's presence, God's glory, fill the room where you're at? It can. It can. Sometimes we miss these moments that God wants to give to us to prepare us, to help us. He knows what we have to go through when we go out. And He wants to give us these moments of heaven to help us. Because when we receive them, then we are changed. We're prepared. We're filled. We're energized. Our perspective now has changed. The way we look at life changes. We begin to see life differently because we have been given a foretaste. A foretaste. Church, this is what God desires to give. He knows you need it. He knows what He wants us to do. How He wants us to live. And He knows what you need. And this morning, as we just prepare to wrap up this message, today He knows what you'll face tomorrow and the next day. You come here in this place in obedience to the Spirit of God to come to the corporate gathering of believers that we call church, even though we know we are the church. You come to be able to experience God's presence and worship. You come to hear His word. But today I believe you come to receive your glimpse. Your glimpse of goodness in the land of the living. Your experience of God's glory. That you may be filled. That you may be renewed. That you may be strengthened. That you may receive a shot for your faith that causes it to well and to grow. And today I believe God wants to give you that. And you know, I don't do this too often. But today I just want us to end this service with that experience. And I've asked Doug, thanks to Nick, to play a very special song that gave me confirmation this day of this message and this time. For as we were praying before the service and during that prayer time, this song began to play. The Lord just said to me, "This is a confirmation, John, of the message I want you to speak today and what I want to do for the people that are gathered. I want to fill them with my glory. I want them to get a glimpse of me. I want them to feel my goodness and to be revived and to be rejuvenated and to be filled in a way that allows them to cope with anything that they'll have to in this upcoming week and month. And I believe that this is for you today and me. And I would just like us to end right now with this time of worship, this time of opening ourselves, this time of preparing ourselves to receive from God that glimpse, that word, that light, that love, that feeling, that experience that will enable us. Amen. So as we prepare, let's just pray. Father, we come before You and I ask today, Lord, that by Your Spirit, Lord God, that You come into this place and that You allow Your people, Lord, to get a glimpse of You. Lord, You pulled Your disciples aside and You allowed them to experience You as You were transformed before them. Even as we worship here at the close of this service, Lord, allow us to experience You like never before. Give us that glimpse of Your glory. Let us be like Moses, Lord, that did not want to leave until he saw Your glory. Allow us to receive from You. Even as we pray, Lord, let Your kingdom come. We say to You, Lord God, that we want You to be our King and to reign in us because we know when You're allowed to reign in us, Your kingdom fully operates within us. And the goodness of Your kingdom comes. So we pray today. Come. Come into our lives. Give us, Lord, a revelation of You, that experience of You that we need. we open ourselves to. You can stay where you're at. You can come to the altar and stay. But I just pray that you position yourself now in a posture to receive. Sometimes for me that means opening my arms almost like a cup. Whatever it is for you, prepare yourself today to receive. Just begin to tell him you want him to reign in you. Tell him you want his kingdom to come.